Listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
The three-layered Serkin, that's
the three-layered Serkin. Yeah. Smothered in, now, yeah. I'm going to give away a secret. Smothered in toothpaste, she is.
Well, I was saying...
She had very flicky toothpaste this morning.
Well, you know why, Paul Andrews? Because I use a homeopathic toothpaste, not just any old thing. No fluoride in it, which I haven't used fluoride toothpaste for about 20 years. And my dentist is horrified and said, that's why you got three fillings. No, I've been using it for 20 years. I've got three fillings because I've been taking a lot of homeopathy, which has sugar in it.
Right.
And I've been lolling in bed taking it and not brushing my teeth after. So now I don't do that. I brush my teeth before bed, after. Right. But long story short, these natural toothpastes without any fluoride in are quite runny. Of a morning, you know, when you're getting ready and you're putting your mascara on and all that, it flicks around and I tend to walk about when I'm doing my teeth.
What you ought to do is chew a charcoal briquette. That's
what I give to Darcy dog.
Well, that's what you need for your teeth. It's a charcoal briquette.
I thought that was about the wind.
Well, it does the wind as well. Does your teeth and the wind.
I don't really get wind, but my new husband does.
I think
it's a man thing. I once bought you a licorice chew. Would that do the same thing?
It won't clean your teeth, no.
What does it do?
Do you mean the actual stick of the tree stick?
It was like a eucalyptus tree.
I mean, that in days of yore, that is entirely how people clean their teeth, was on chewing on a stick.
Are you Elizabethan?
No.
In days of yore, you used to be perhaps, you know, some sort of Smurfy person, were you?
Smurf?
Well, what were they called?
A Smurf. That's a little blue thing from Holland.
What were they called in the old days?
Which ones?
I don't know.
Do you mean a surf? A Smurf.
I thought surf was a washing powder. What was other washing powders are available? Yeah. What was a surf in the old days?
A surf is a servant.
In days of yore?
It was a servant.
Oh, you weren't. But you did go up chimneys and things, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, that was Victorian, though.
That was just for fun.
Yeah, no, that was in the 19th century when I was working up chimneys, yeah.
Gardilow.
Yeah, yeah.
I do love a Victorian, talking of Victorian.
I tell you what, being serious.
Or an Edwardian, even.
Being serious, I don't know if you've seen on Twitter in the last few weeks, there's been a lot of...
Any Edwardians on there?
There's been a lot of late Victorian and early 20th century videos and photographs that have been colourised.
Did you see the man with the gold nugget?
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Australian?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was very modern looking.
Yeah, yeah, they colourised it, yeah. He found, 1898, he found the world's largest gold nugget.
Was
it 72... kilograms or something.
It was huge.
It's worth it was worth 3.5 million.
Oh my goodness. It was lovely, and I was silly really, because you know you just tend to look at these things quickly.
I bet you got one that size in your filling, haven't you?
I probably have. I used to be a dental nurse. It used to be done for free, so I'd say fill it up with gold. Long story short, I don't know much about this because I've asked my new husband to let me know, but he's at Reuters. He'll be hobnobbing now. But he's probably, you know, that, you know, they have the nice nibbles about this time, don't they? Luncheon. And he's very happy because he didn't have to pay.
You've got nibbles.
I have.
Terry's bought you nibbles.
We'll introduce
our guest, Terry Thorpe.
So we have our guest, Tezza, Terry Thorpe, who's going to talk to us about Tenterden High Street, Christmassy things, I believe. Dogs, no doubt, little greyhound will snip in. Cars, no doubt, will get a mention, hire and lease and all that.
I think we'll be able to talk about lots of things.
But I'm sure I was on a train of thought then. I was telling you. So my new husband just told me, as you are, we're just snuggling down. He's got to get up early. And we don't have our heating on in our bedroom, so it's like you literally go in and I've got my lovely Welsh woolen blanket on top of the continental quilt. Talking about continental quilt.
Good grief. You never actually get to the point of any one of her stories, do you, Terry? She starts off on a train over there and she goes off like a firework.
Well,
it's like...
It's Gemini. But you know, my generation called it a continental quilt. Do you remember when they all came in? It used to be an eiderdown and a sheet and a blanket. It came into Swedish.
Continental quilt.
Continental quilt.
Yep.
So my new husband finds that amusing that I call it continental quilt. A bit like Hit Parade, you know, that sort of thing, or record. But long story short, our continental quilt, which is from John Lewis, you know, I really splashed out about probably 11 years ago.
Okay.
But it's got little pockets if you look at it. So the feathers or the whatever it is, the Nomite filling, has got pockets, so it doesn't all bunch at the bottom, right?
Right.
So I shake it, and it's really, you know, it's a super king, so it takes a lot of shaking. It's exhausting. But when I look at it, I'm often cold in bed because there's clumps, and then there's nothing. There's like empty squares. And the whole point, surely, of these squares is that it should be more evenly distributed.
Yeah, well, that's, it's probably got duck down or eider down in it, hasn't it? And the problem with that is when it gets old, it starts to clump together.
Yeah, but that's why I shake it every of a morning.
But it's gone manky, hasn't it?
It's very expensive,
it's gone manky, hasn't it?
I mean, how often do you change your continental quilt?
Yeah, mine's not got duck down in it. Mine's just got, you know, normal, whatever they put in it these days, foam. I don't know, what do they put in them these days? That nylon wool stuff.
Well, I did want a silk one, but they're really expensive.
I have a summer duvet and a winter duvet.
Oh, well, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
I just have a sheet in summer.
I have
can't afford a summer.
A 25 tog or whatever it is. Winter duvet.
Sound a bit like Terry Wogan now.
Yeah, yeah.
But what the new husband told me, aside from the continental quilt, so we're snuggled under, shivering. Then I put the little Welsh blanket on, which is a Welsh woolen blanket made in Wales that I bought in Whitstable High Street, shopping local.
Whitstable's not in Wales?
No, but they had a little Welsh blanket, and I was very excited.
Have they got a Welsh shop in Whitstable then?
No, it's called Urban, and it has lots of sort of stuff from
Welsh
round yonder.
Welsh stuff.
Yeah, round yonder. We're snuggled under, and then you start dozing off, don't you? And then the dog had a bad tummy, as usual, Terry. So long story short, he shuffled off, put her in the garden. It was his turn. I nudge him. We take it in turns throughout the night. And then he came back and he said, oil prices have plummeted.
As you do. Was he reading the paper in the garden?
This is 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So, and of course he works...
Put a heating on.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course he works in emerging markets, and we've got a lot of Nigerian clients, especially, and African clients. And Africa would be the best place for us to get our fuel from if we can get it together, and a lot of our food.
But
why doesn't it pass on to us?
Oil prices and gas prices are phenomenally low on the spot market at the moment. They just haven't translated into anything you buy.
They never do. But of course we're in a recession, aren't we? That means, I'm not very good on this, but I think that means demand will plummet because manufacturing, everything will, people are...
It's a domino effect. Yeah.
But it never seems to come through to Joe Public, does it?
No, I mean...
There's a lag.
It's ridiculous. It's just completely ridiculous. There's no excuse you can give... other than to agree with most of the conspiracy theories that the government can't be this incompetent. It must be deliberate.
Well, just look at his trousers. Yeah. I mean, what's all that about?
I think that was photoshopped, if I'm really honest.
Do you really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't?
Yeah, I do.
Who would do that?
Yeah, well, he's so short anyway that you couldn't buy trousers that short because he's only about 4'11" anyway.
I think he's the kind of person that would have a little tailor.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, well, he needs to sack him if they were real.
He just needed red socks.
Anyway, I know what I was going to tell you.
Oh, really?
Do you remember you read an email last week about the world's worst hotel?
Oh, gosh, yeah. And the, new husband
the Grand
wants to
Burst,
go.
The
yeah.
Grand Burston, yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah. you read that last week.
We're all wanting to go now.
Yeah. No, you can't. Do you see what happened?
Did it burn down or something?
No.
What happened?
The front fell off and injured two people.
Really?
Was it yesterday or the day before?
The front?
All the rendering on the front fell off.
Big
lump of concrete fell off into the street, hurt two people.
Gosh. And what's happened? So it's closed? Well,
they're in hospital.
Yeah. Gosh. A good job I didn't go straight after.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. You would have had a slab of concrete.
Afternoon
you wouldn't
tea.
Have had a you wouldn't have had a Welsh duvet, mate. You'd have had a slab of concrete. That would have kept you warm.
Goodness me. Mm. I wanted to bring in Terry Thorpe because he's sitting there, and I heard him when I was talking about oil prices. I heard him say, which usually means that he's got something to say about oil prices and plummeting and recessions and the fact that it's almost like we're being talked into a recession.
There's no doubt about that we've been talked into a recession. They've been engineered into a recession.
Exactly.
I mean, the whole budget was a fiasco.
It was a fiasco. Which budget? We've had
the one they've just done, Jeremy Hunt's budget.
One before wasn't much better.
Jeremy Hunt's autumn statement It's just ridiculous.
Careful how you say that name.
I know. But, you know, I mean, you've got fuel duty going up in March by, what's it, another 12% or 12p a litre.
Yeah.
How much?
12p a litre.
Do come close to your mic, Tezza.
Or even 12p a litre.
Mm.
Yeah. So what is that going to do to small business distribution, deliveries, food, everything?
In my opinion, it's deliberate. They are just trying to get cars off the road. It's all they're trying to do.
Well, I was thinking about that. How would they expect me, for example, or you, Terry, to get from, you know, I've come in from Whitstable to Ashford. Would I have to get a bus?
Yes.
It would take
An electric bus, which would only take you 7 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it would only run twice a day.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'd have to come.
You'd get here and go home again.
Exactly. I'd have to bring more than a boiled egg. Not even twice a day.
Twice a day, twice a week.
But you know what? My back garden goes onto Herne Bay Road. And I, because my kitchen's upstairs, I can watch the buses go by, double deckers. They're empty.
Yeah.
They're absolutely empty.
Talking about twice a day or twice a week, do you remember when Manston reopened for about the third time?
Yeah.
And they started doing flights to Newcastle.
Yeah.
Well, my eldest was at university in Durham. And I thought, oh, well, that's handy. I can fly up and he can pick me up from the airport.
It was via Schiphol.
Yeah, yeah. No. It wasn't via. It was direct.
Oh, was
they
it?
Were doing direct flights to Newcastle. Really? Wasn't everything else was by Schiphol.
Yeah, like but 8 hours were, in Schiphol.
Yeah,
well,
no, and that's why I looked at it because they said, right, it was £80 direct flight to Newcastle. I thought, well, that's great because, you know, it cost me that in fuel. And I said, right, I'd like to book next Friday and come back on Monday. And they went, oh, no. You can't come back.
Really? They
beg your pardon?
You there.
No, it's only a one-way flight. We don't do return flights.
How bizarre.
Well, what did you do with a plane then? He goes, to Schiphol.
Then you could have flown to Schiphol and then come back.
No,
to
but you couldn't get you couldn't get a return flight to do that. No, you couldn't. I'm sure there was some way you could have worked it out eventually. Mm. But you couldn't buy a return ticket. You could only buy a one-way ticket in one direction.
I do miss Manston. Yeah. I heard that
it's still there.
Yeah, but it's full of migrants now, isn't it?
It's got all kinds of things going on there at the moment, isn't it?
Well, Coach Park as well.
It's partially Operation Brock Coach Park. It's partly a
migrant centre,
a migrant
holding centre,
processing centre.
Yeah,
and now there's people living there as well, of course.
Yes, I heard that some of them were in tents. Now I don't know if that's true.
In tents, they were really, really stroppy.
I see what you did there.
Right.
Little tents, camping.
Oh, camping, yeah.
Yeah, which a lot of people pay a lot of money for, glamping, don't they, nowadays? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure. But anyway, we mustn't get political because we don't know enough about it.
No.
I will say I miss Manston. I used to like to nip it. I went to Galway from there for about £6.
Mm.
It was good, and we've often said that we like small hubs.
Well, we had a little thing for a while, didn't we? We had I can't remember Charles, whatever his name was, who was the chief executive.
We had him on, didn't we?
He came on when they on the first relaunch of Manston, and he did a big thing about how it was going to be brilliant, and then they went bust. And then we had Henri Orcard, who was the chief executive of Air France, owned KLM, and KLM started operating from there, and they lasted about a month before. They stopped.
And then the Haulage American company were going to.
Yeah, well, that was just freight traffic, wasn't it? Yeah.
I must say that we never had planes flying over our house in Whitstable. Now we do. We get, I think it's going to City Airport. Mm. But I was reading Heathrow and Gatwick are now not allowing you to drop off. They're charging you to drop off, which is awful, isn't it? Like, you know, you can't even just throw somebody out with their suitcase. You get charged for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, taxis. I tried to book a cab to go. When I last flew to where I was going, Spain, and I think it was Gatwick, and the taxi had gone up so much from Chesterfield cars because of the price of petrol.
Mm.
So that was bonkers.
My youngest was in Kuala Lumpur a couple of weekends ago.
I saw working. What he was eating. It was very delicious.
Yeah. And when he got back to the airport, it was a day of the rail strikes and the tube strikes. So there was no, he got to Heathrow, there was no tubes, no railway. And his company booked a cab for him. It took him 7 hours, right, to get from Heathrow to Hackney.
No.
Yeah. Well, because the Just Stop Oil Mob were on the motorway, greening themselves to the grass. It's 7 hours.
You know the young guy.
It was longer to get from Heathrow to Hackney than it was from Kuala Lumpur to Heathrow.
I can imagine. I mean, when I was on GB News with Mark Stain's show, I was in the green room with the young head of Just Stop Oil. What was his name? Very young guy. I was about 25.
From GB News?
No, from Just Stop Oil.
Just Stop Oil.
He was on before me.
Oh, right.
If you watched me, you'd have seen him on before.
Right,
and my new husband thought he was great. He said he was very, very good. Had I known in depth what he was there for, I would have got him in a
headlock.
Headlock and rolled around on the floor with him and just said, leave.
They're a cult. They're mad.
Just leave normal people out of it. Go and do what you want with government, but leave
they're
normal
mad.
People.
They're just bonkers. Yeah. What was his name? David Koresh and Jim Jones and all that cult nonsense from the 70s when they all drunk Kool-Aid and topped themselves. They're all mad.
Yeah.
I said this the other week. All this nonsense about, you know, the Metropolitan Police have an anti-glue squad now.
Oh, for goodness sake.
If you glue your hands to anything, they have to wait. This is the procedure. They have to wait for the glue squad to get there to release you. Yeah, they can't just pick you up and move you. There's a bit of a problem with that, though, because as far as I know, there's no glue on the market that will glue your hand to a tarmac road. Yeah,
no.
There is none that will do that, even super glue.
I try and glue things at home. It never works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And did you see the French? They weren't having any of that. They just picked them straight up. And these people rolling around pretending they'd hurt their hands. But of course they hadn't.
It's a shame they don't do that with the people trying to cross the channel.
Yeah.
They're not very strict with them, are they?
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, shall we get on and do something?
Oh, well, we might as well, yeah.
Muting my button. So, did you know that Sevenoaks Chamber, Paul Andrews, have got a Chamber Sustainability Forum, which is on December the 13th, and they're going to bring together local businesses who are passionate about sustainability. Full details, and you can book at www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, and everything we mention on this show will be there as well, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
Cool.
I bet they're all recycling their loo rolls and things like that now.
I had a tweet. We got an email about this, so I'll leave you. I think you've got the email to read in full. But I had a tweet from Gemma Harris Wellness, who's a physio psychotherapist advocate, and she's just asking for a Business Bunker shout out. She is doing some workshops, and we've got a. We got an email about that, which we'll read out shortly. Chips and Dinks have said it's Business Bunker Day. How many great shows are left to air in 2022, including this one? Six.
Yeah, six.
Mm.
How many have we been doing? Because I look at some pictures now and we look quite young.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now?
No, in the old days. Now we look a bit past it.
Today's show is number 606.
Mm. So you've been really good. I haven't actually counted my scoffs. I haven't counted them. I just know years, but I haven't ever counted them. But then you've got lots of techie people, haven't you, and things?
No, I just every week I put it up, I advance it one.
That's clever.
On my website, it says show number 605, which means today must be show 606.
Very
so I
clever.
Go, today it's 606.
I'm investing in an abacus.
Uh-huh.
And Kenwood Trust, you can find them on the Twitter at Kenwood Trust. That's WARD, Kenwood Trust. And they say you're invited to the Christmas carols and Thanksgiving service. It's taking place at 3 p.m. on Saturday, the 10th of December, in the Sinden Room. There will be Christmas carols and a short chat, followed by hot drinks, mince pies and cookies. See, I get uppity about the word cookies because it's American. I call them biscuits.
Yeah.
And I want them to be forever called biscuits.
What would you call a chocolate chip cookie?
I will call that a chocolate biscuit. Because cookie is American. So they're having Christmas carols, a short talk, but they don't say who the talk's by. Please let us know, Kenwood Trust. And it's followed by hot drinks, mince pies and biscuits.
All right. Yes. Do you know what a biscuit is in America?
Oh, yeah, it's those grits, shrimp and grits, south.
Well, it's not the grits. You have a biscuit and grits.
Yeah,
grits,
down south and fat.
Grits is a bit like porridge. And
that's fat. Well, they in the olden days, it was for the Smurfs or whatever they're called.
Smurfs. No.
But now it's loved up and they call it polenta.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, in the States, a biscuit is a scone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you say scone or scone?
I was being posh just for you because I knew you wouldn't understand scone.
I say scone.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, because it's if you scone. Think...
Oh, you're from Essex, aren't you? Of course
well,
you are.
If you think you've got bone, you don't say bond, do you? And what else? I was thinking about this
but
the other
day. But you do say hone.
Home.
You don't... No, hone, H-O-N-E. You don't say hon.
True.
You say hone.
Yeah, so therefore it's scone.
Scone.
Jam first.
Biscuit. See, the Americans salted it by calling it a biscuit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I've just been reading...
Biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, well, that's what my new husband, we were in South Carolina working, and I absolutely love it there. I love the humidity, and I love Charleston and the whole vibe there. We were having stuff, and every day he had shrimp and grits. Even for breakfast, he had shrimp and grits.
You normally have grits for breakfast, yeah.
Yeah, and then I had lost weight to go, because I knew what the food was like out there. And... the concierge man in our hotel, I said to him, I lost 6 pounds to come here, I said, and I've just put on 7 pounds. And he said, 7 pounds? Honey, you're just getting started. They just love. And then there was this thing on my side of my plate at this dinner I had. It was a big white thing. And I said, what's this? You know, I thought it was porridge or something. He said, that's fat. And I go, oh, okay. But the food is, oh. It is really, really good food. But I've just been reading Where the Crawdads Sing.
Where the what?
Where the Crawdads Sing, which is based in North Carolina.
Right.
It's just been made into a film. It's a very good book. I'm sure Amanda would like it.
I'm sure.
You wouldn't, but you probably wouldn't read it. But Where the Crawdads Sing, been made in a film. I haven't seen the film yet. But the book is very, very good. Beautifully written.
Hmm. Old friend of mine lives in North Carolina. He works for a Wells Fargo bank. Person.
Oh, have you been?
I haven't been to the Carolinas, no.
It is really, really lovely. Yeah. Everybody must visit. And as I said, I love, they've got these big squares with these big old trees. And you can just imagine, you know, Rhett Butler there and Gone with the Wind.
Well, quite frankly, I don't give a damn. So,
tunage?
Yeah. I think we'll do some tunage. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
This is a cheesy tunage in homage to our next guest, Anita Wong. Anita is a visual marketing consultant.
Oh, Video Killed the Radio Star.
Obviously.
By the Buggles.
Obviously.
Very good. See what you did there. Clever.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52. Lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through. See you.
As Jill said, the Buggles there with Video Killed the Radio Star, our cheesy tunage of the week. Earlier, I caught up with Anita Wong. Anita is a visibility breakthrough coach. So let's hear what Anita had to say. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker show, Anita Wong. Anita bills herself as a visibility breakthrough consultant. Good afternoon, Anita. Thank you for joining us on the show. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on, Paul.
It's a pleasure. So let's kick off by understanding what a visibility breakthrough consultant is. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, what it is you do, and then we'll explore that from there.
Okay, so a visibility breakthrough person is somebody who helps you break through those barriers that you often come up against when you are trying to build your business online. Mm-hmm. So the online place can be quite scary for some. Sure. And I just help people to sort of step into their own and show up as they want to without the fear of the tech and all of the sort of technologies and updates that happen okay. in our social media world.
Okay. I think I'm right in saying, and you put me right if I'm wrong, but you tend to specialise in the visual side of social media, you know, things like YouTube and Instagram and stuff like that. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. So I focus on video marketing, and that's across mainly YouTube, Instagram and Facebook. And it's actually helping people go live, you know, do live streaming, pre-record their videos and actually have the confidence to show up in this real video first era that we've found ourselves in.
Right.
At the moment.
Okay. I want to explore this in two directions, if we may, Anita.
Okay.
Our listeners are interested in two branches of this. They want to find out about you and your business and how you started it and when you started it and why you started it as one branch. And then we also want to find out what it is you do, how you do it, and who you do it for, if you see what I mean. So let's kick off, if we may. What inspired you to start work in this field, and when did you start?
Okay, so I started working in sort of like the digital space about 7 or 8 years ago. Right. So in my previous life, I used to be an ICU nurse. So an intensive care nurse.
Oh, right, okay.
So, yeah. So I used to work...
That's a bit of a career change.
Yeah, it is actually. And a lot of people say that. But I think it's wanting to give something back and also just to sort of like... help people in a way. And that's pretty much what my focus is of what I'm doing. So I started like dabbling a little bit online with a girlfriend, just trying out little things. And then I took myself off to college and did a certificate in web design and a social media course with all like the teenagers and things like that. So sort of learned and stepped into that sort of digital space. And then I've always been quite good at sort of explaining things to people, and that's sort of like how I then went into starting my YouTube channel, which is where really the whole business grew from there. But I worked it around my kids. I've got four girls who are aged 24 down to 18. I've got twins who are the youngest too, so it worked really well for me to be able to work from home, juggling the childcare and then building up my little business as I went along. So
That's fascinating. I'm interested that you made that change. Do you know what inspired you? You know, you were a nurse, and I can understand what a stressful, high impact job that is as an ICU nurse. And I can understand, you know, you going, you know, maybe I need to do something different to this because it's quite a time consuming job as well. What do you know what that trigger was that said, I know I'll go to college and learn how to design websites and digital media?
I think it was I've always been quite artistic. When I was a kid, I used to do a lot of drawing and painting and things like that. And I think the online realm as such sort of attracted me in that way. So I started off with the web design course, so I can sort of like code a little bit, but I went into more sort of WordPress design and things like that. And then it was like, actually, I want to be more about showing people how to use all the tools. So when I was doing short, small little things, so the trigger, I suppose, was number one, time, being able to actually choose when I worked and how I worked. And I think also being a bit of a role model, like showing that you don't always have to do the same thing. Like there was a lot of people I was talking to who were fed up with what they were doing in their jobs. And I love nursing. And the only reason I stopped nursing was because I had four daughters. My husband's a doctor. So it was just the juggling of childcare that was like, actually, I went back after my first daughter, and then the second one, I was like, actually, I'm just going to stay at home and do stuff. So it was being able to fit what I was doing around everything else that the commitments that I had that were was probably the reason. And I also felt that I needed to have some sort of qualifications to do what I was doing. And I found that going back and learning was actually a really good, like, it opened my eyes to what else there was that I could do and help people with. And that was where it all sort of started, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it makes total sense. Back then, 7 or 8 years ago, working from home wasn't what it is now.
So
choosing the digital world made absolute sense as well, didn't it? Because it was one of the few things you could actually do successfully from home without having to run it. A thought just struck me, and this is totally in left field. What hospital did you work in?
I used to work at the London Chest, which is in Bethnal Green, and then I worked at Barts in the Royal London. So it's in that the Royal London Trust.
I know you're from West London, and I wondered if you worked at Hammersmith Hospital. That was all, because that's where I was.
Right. Born. Okay. Okay. No, one of my the twins were born at the Hammersmith Hospital, but but no, I think it's you know, being able to change your career path and then be able to actually cope with being online is something that I'm really passionate about helping people with. And my husband always laughs at me because when he was studying to be doing his final exams, I was always like, what are you doing on that computer thing? Like, why do you spend all your time on there? You know, and now it's a complete role reversal. It's like, how are you going to get on that computer? So it's quite funny, really.
You're absolutely right, though, Anita, about this ability to change careers. I actually do a program in schools about careers. And we had a meeting yesterday with the local careers people, and we were talking about this, the fact that especially young people now, Generation Z, or what we're on to now, Alpha, I think, they aren't going to have careers that are anything like previous generations. You know, they're going to change what they do every couple of years, because that's the nature of the world now. It just radically redefines itself, based around technology. And we play a game when I'm doing that, tell us what jobs you think will exist in 10 years' time that don't currently exist, you know, things like, you know, driverless car recovery technician or whatever. Okay, so let's now move on and talk about the content of what you actually do. So you primarily focus, I think, around YouTube and the video experience. So tell us a little bit about how you work with your clients and the kind of things that you work with, and then explain to us what's on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, so I help people to actually understand how to use the digital space for their business growth. Right. And that means that, like, the front end of you, so in other words, how you present yourself, what you do, how you're seen on the front end of the system, but then also I help them get all of the back end stuff sorted, because a lot of the time you can be on Instagram, say, for example, or put a video up on YouTube, and then the person that's watching it doesn't have any way of getting hold of you. They don't know what to do next, and it's getting that pipeline organized in the background, like those dots connected, and then it's all about amplifying that message and helping people always look at when they're on social with that business head on. So, and that's what I'm really passionate about doing with YouTube at the moment, is the fact that it's so, the world is so video first, and I do believe that a lot of entrepreneurs who are in a similar age bracket to us tend to think that YouTube is that sort of, like, it's that platform that we're not allowed to be on because everything has to be perfect. And I'm really, like, very passionate about empowering people to believe that that's not actually true. Right. My first video is like, it's got over 210,000 views, but yeah. I was in the front room and I literally ran in and it was like, oh, I've got this thing, I've got to share it. And I just did a quick video and uploaded it. And that was the catalyst that was like, actually, I need to be on YouTube more. This is working.
Okay. I could possibly be your ideal client because I'm a massive user of social media. But primarily Twitter and LinkedIn. I have an Instagram account with a couple of thousand followers on it. I have no idea what to do with it, really. YouTube is just a complete blank to me. I'll watch some music videos on YouTube, and that's it. I don't have a YouTube account. I've never appeared on YouTube, as far as I know, or I probably have for somebody else. But one of the reasons for that is that my marketing plan is to get people to my website. And it's really easy to do that with things like Twitter, because just put a link in it and people can click the link and go to the website. I know that you can do that with Instagram and YouTube in some way, but I've never kind of bothered to get around to doing it. What I wanted to ask you, what fascinated me is you said you put up your first YouTube video, which you filmed in your front room, and you've had 210,000 views. I guess that's over a period of time. What did you talk about? And why do you think why do you think 200,000 people clicked on it?
Well, it's funny enough, it was how to put a swipe up link in your Facebook stories. Right. So that was taking people from Facebook to your website.
Right.
But in stories, when I uploaded that, which I think was about 4 years ago, that was not that easy to do, and people didn't really understand how to use that tool. And that's what the what I think is the biggest barrier for everybody when it comes to using a social media platform, is that they don't understand the full magic that can happen inside the platform if you dig below the surface. And that's where, for example, if you were to go onto YouTube, you can actually have a link to your website in your YouTube banner. You can have a link to your website in every video that you put in the description. You can have a link to your website in your about section. So on YouTube, you've got three areas just to start off with where you can have links to your website. And YouTube is one of the platforms that makes it so easy for you to share their content. So you can embed your video onto your website. So you've automatically got your video on YouTube open to everybody that wants to find it. You've also got it playing on your website, and then you can link the two together in the description of the website. And now YouTube are competing with the likes of Instagram and TikTok with the introduction of YouTube Shorts, which basically is a short video which you can upload to YouTube as well. You can go live on YouTube. You can put podcasts on YouTube. Right? You know, it's a place where you can create one video, say once a week, and create content from that one video to put on all of your social media platforms without having to recreate things. So that's why I think it's a magical platform to step into for entrepreneurs.
Okay. It's quite clear I'm going to need to speak to you offline about this. And you're going to have to educate me on how to do all of this. But I like what you're saying. What you're saying is the YouTube videos that you created were how-to videos, how to do this. My eldest son lives in France, and he's doing the typical, you know, escape to the chateau nonsense, and he's restoring a manor house in France. And the skills he's learned to do that, he learned from YouTube videos. You know, as soon as he's got, say, he recently installed solar panels, YouTube, got a video, how do you do that? Right, I'll do that. And I think certainly younger people nowadays, they use YouTube as a resource for how to do things. I'm a bit old school. I have, to be honest, used YouTube to think about how to, you know, why can't I unlock my car door and stuff like that. But I tend to work better with the written word. I suppose part of that is because my hearing's so bad that when you're listening to someone explain something complicated, you have to keep rewinding it to hear it again. If you see it. But I agree totally with you that, you know, YouTube as a platform for learning how to do things is brilliant, and so many people use it for that.
I
just want to kind of finish off, if we may, Anita, on in fact, when you get a client, how do you work with clients one-to-one, or do you work with them in groups? How do you do what you do?
So I can work one-to-one, especially if they want a bespoke plan of action, and I do an overall sort of audit of where we're at in their visibility, and then the back end side of things, make sure that that's all set up properly. So that's one-to-one. And then I'm launching a Grow Your Business with YouTube program in January of 2023, which is about how you can look at YouTube in a completely different way to what you just described it. So just quickly before we end is that YouTube is a platform where you can actually build your business with how-to videos, information, and it's like the cockpit of an aeroplane, and then everything else comes from it. So when you say that you prefer things written, you just create a blog from the transcript of your video, and then people can read that. But actually YouTube have the facility for you to read the transcript on the video now. So the thing is, it's all being really it's amazing what you can do on it. And I think I'm very passionate about empowering people to learn that. So I've got that in a one-to-one session or like a coaching program, which I'm launching next year, which is all about the accountability and actually the empowerment of you being able to do it yourself.
And of course you can monetize YouTube as well.
Yeah, you monetize YouTube in two different ways. You monetize it for your own business. In other words, you use it as a lead generation platform for your own business, and you make money from your own. And then, of course, when you hit the certain level, you then get monetized through the partner program that YouTube gives you. But it's really about using it strategically as a business tool. So it's really about leading people to where you want them to go from those how-to videos and from those entertainment and those strategy videos. So telling people, it's about informing people. Your platform is about informing people about what you do and how you can help them solve the issues that they have. And that's how the brand awareness grows for your business. And that can be a service or a product. So even if you're selling a product, you do like demonstrations of it. And all the ways that people can connect with you on YouTube are all geared towards you growing your business and making money.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Anita, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. If people want to find out more about what you do and your coaching programs and all those things, what's the best way to get hold of you?
My website is my name, anitawong.co.uk. So if you just put that into the browser, you'll pull me up. And of course, if you go to my YouTube channel and type in YouTube and type in Anita Wong, I'll jump up there as well, and there'll be links on there. And you can book a discovery call with me, which we can have a chat and see how I can help you.
That's fantastic. Thank you ever so much for that. It's been fascinating talking to you. Anita Wong, Visual Breakthrough Consultant, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk. to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
So that was Anita Wong, Visual Breakthrough Consultant, talking about video marketing and YouTube. Interestingly, towards the end of the interview, we were talking about monetization of YouTube. Jamie, my oldest son, just put up a YouTube video showing him making pellets for a pellet stove. And he put it up last week. He's had 10,000 views already.
He's making his own pellets, is he?
Yeah, yeah. He's got all the gear for making the pellets.
Tell me, what is a pellet? Is it wood?
Yeah, well, he makes it out of sawdust. You can make it out of weed, and one of the best...
Weed?
One of the best...
What kind of weed?
Marijuana, weed, cannabis.
Is he growing that on a...
Yes, that hasn't grown yet. So that's the best stuff to make it out of. You can make it out of grass. So you can make it. You can make them out of anything. What burns best is hardwood.
I need a dampener put on my chimney because I lit the fire. Yes, it was a very damp, grey sort of day in Whitstable. And, you know, where those days where the horizon just is grey and the mud, you know, the Tiber's out and that. It was one of those days. And I had a lot of work that I don't particularly like, sort of admin. I hate admin. And I'd made myself do it, you know. So I had like 85 cups of coffee, 10 biscuits, procrastinate, do 58 tweets rather than do it. So I settled down to do it. But I lit a fire quite early, about 11, and we've gone through so much wood because I have to put one on about every 15-20 minutes, one log.
Well, this is why you use wood, a pellet burner, which is why they're so popular now as opposed to a wood stove.
But can't you just put pellets in a wood stove? Or does work?
You can, but it doesn't work as well.
So what does it look like, a pellet burner? Is it smaller?
No, it's much bigger. It's like a tall cylinder.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them, like the Hasser, I think it's called.
They're a tall cylinder. What they do, the pellets, if they're made properly, burn for much longer and throw out more heat.
And do they also heat water? Will it heat
water? You can put a back boiler in it. Yeah.
Okay. And, anyway, so I called a little chimney sweep, and it was after 6 o'clock. So I don't know about you, but I don't like to call people after 6 o'clock. So I thought he's been up a chimney and all that. So I left him a lovely voicemail saying, I think I need a dampener, or whatever they're called, a damper, put in, which would slow down. Because we're on the seafront, so we get the wind. So, of course, it whips up the old logs. But honestly, the wood burner heats our whole living room and kitchen and makes it very nice.
So you want a dampener on it?
I do. Do you want to put one in?
Yeah, I know. I'll pop over. I'll dampen it down.
You can do that.
I go, oh.
I tried to get...
Call this a party.
Oh, I
call it a wood stove. No, I've seen better.
Tell you what.
That's a dampener, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a dampener on the whole occasion. Yeah. Tell you what, I hold a great party. You've never been to one of my parties, but they are quite loush.
I've been to one of your dinner parties.
Yeah, dinner party, but not the same as my parties.
It was at lunchtime and there was about 12 of us.
Yeah, wasn't that when you fell asleep in the deck chair?
Hardly,
on the seafront?
Hardly, no, because it was during the winter.
Oh, okay. Well, there was one I did for your birthday, if you remember. And
you
Alistair
did,
Jessel bought his latest ice cream for us all to taste.
He did, and that was on the beach.
That was on the beach.
And I still didn't fall asleep in a deck
You
chair.
Did have a little doze, I think, a little doze. You
know, Paragon drones have been on.
And they
say, good afternoon, gang. It wouldn't be Tuesday without banter, business and stonking cheesy tunes. We would love a mention. Thank you both for mentioning us so much. It means a lot to us. That's the lovely folks at Paragon Drones. Do give them a follow.
Who else have we got? We've got research and development event encourages collaboration, we're told. This is Canterbury Christchurch Uni.
Uh-huh.
And they say the first ever research and development event at Maidstone Innovation Centre was a huge success, with many specialist businesses sharing new ideas and gaining valuable insights into future tech. Part of the Kent Medical Campus.
KIMS.
Well, they call it MIC, M-I-C.
Oh, yeah, no, they're the people who were doing it. But it was on the Kent Medical Campus, which is KIMS.
Oh, okay. K-Y-M-S.
No, K-I-M-S.
Oh, okay. What is that? Is that the private medical thing that you can have?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've had something done under there. I can't quite remember. It's aimed at businesses working in the life science, healthcare and medical sectors. The event was created to act as a catalyst for new collaboration opportunities and encourage the sharing of information between companies and academics. Canterbury Christchurch University and partners, they are Barclays Eagle Labs, Innovate UK Edge, Burton's Medical, SEHTA, SETA, and NCL Technology Ventures. And they partnered with MIC, that's Maidstone Medical Campus.
MIC, KYMOUC.
And provided workshops and networking opportunities. So, yeah, that sounds very interesting. My new husband was listening back to one of our shows, not last week, the week before. He quite enjoyed it, actually. He told me off for smacking like that while I was reading. And I said, it's because we have biscuits all the time.
Yeah, it's because she eats. Gavin, it's because she eats solidly biscuits. All the time she's in the studio.
Biscuits.
I don't eat a thing. She eats everything.
Yeah, well, you're on.
Sarah Marsh Collins has been on.
One of your regimes.
Sarah Marsh Collins has been on.
What's she saying?
She said, I've been burning the oil in Devon, Jules, so I sympathise with you, but currently listening to you and Vanilla Web while freezing myself at Rochester train station.
Oh.
Homeward bound, she says, business bunker.
Need a little thermal. I'm thinking of for Christmas. I haven't done any Christmas shopping yet, Paul Andrews. Have you?
Yeah, I've done most of mine.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, I really dislike.
You're not catching up on your tweets, are you?
No, I will do.
Well, Casey Canine's been tweeting you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hi, Jules Serkin. Please, can you give a shout out to a very patient greyhound still waiting to meet the apple of his eye, Darcy? I know. It is bad. We keep saying, well, they keep having these greyhound meetings when I'm away, but I'm not away now, so let's do it.
Right, I said earlier I'd read this email from Gemma Harris.
In
preparation for the Christmas season, and due to the high levels of stress we are currently operating under, I'm running two seminars in December, which will be free of charge for anyone to attend. A 60-minute seminar on self-care on Saturday the 3rd of December at 12:30, and then a 30-minute session entitled Embrace Your Uniqueness. Oh, sorry, we've missed that one. That was in it says in November, although she did say December. So I think Saturday the 10th of December. Both sessions will be held on Zoom. If you would like to attend, please let me know and I'll put you on the list and send you a Zoom invite. That's Gemma Harrison. You can email Gemma for that Zoom invite, gemma@ghconsulting.info. I'm a bit confused because I've copied this email out. And it says two seminars in December, but one of them's got a date of Saturday the 10th of November. But I think that must be Saturday the 10th of December.
Could be a typo.
It is the 10th of December a Saturday. That's the way to find out, isn't it?
Yeah. But you can often get a little bit confused without being too rude about it. I get excited about these kind of press releases. Aerospace giant BAE Systems has secured an £80 million contract to continue to service the Eurofighter Typhoon's aircraft electric systems for air forces in the UK, Italy, Germany and Spain. And they're based in Rochester.
Absolutely.
Isn't that amazing? Mm. It's a new 5-year deal and it's got a little service and repair, key avionics equipment such as flight controls and helmet mounted displays. I'm not really sure what a helmet mounted display is. Surely that's just their little hats that they wear on on hooks. What does that mean, a helmet mounted display?
A pilot's helmet, and basically it throws up your dashboard, for want of a better word, into your helmet, into your visor, so you don't have to look down at the dashboard, you just see it in your helmet.
Gosh, that sounds very high tech.
It's very Space 1999.
Yeah, I thought it just meant hanging your hat up on
BAE Systems. BAE Systems also got something, I can't remember the exact figure, it's something like a £30 billion contract to build a whole series of frigates for the Royal Navy as well.
I just love the word frigate. There was a guest on the other day who had all his businesses were development and everything and manufacturing was all in Kent. Who was that? Was it last week or the week before?
That was Lighting of London.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah,
was that last week or the week before?
Yeah, no, it was...
They all blur in my brain.
Yeah, no, it was the week before.
I was so impressed with that as well. I just hope that we, all this doom and gloom about recession and the price of everything, I really hope that we don't listen and the small businesses can continue.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, we're in a perfect storm where they've put everything up in terms of costs while people are struggling to make ends meet. I mean, you just can't run an economy like that. It just doesn't work.
No.
It's just bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that everybody, it's just bonkers. Come along and meet other businesses in Sevenoaks and hear the latest updates from the leader of Sevenoaks Council, Councillor Peter Fleming. please join us for an after work event hosted by Seven Oaks District Council. We'll hear about the latest council support and activity from Peter Fleming, leader of the council. Also in attendance will be Seven Oaks District Councillors, our membership advisor Jay Martin, and many other businesses from the Seven Oaks business community. Tickets from this event are free, and soft drinks and nibbles will be provided. That's taking place on Thursday, that's this Thursday, the 24th of November, at Seven Oaks District Council offices, which are in Argyle Road, Seven Oaks.
Yeah, and also we have a major budget chain, Home Bargains, and it's announced the opening date for its newest Kent store. The branch is the former Aldi building in Boundary Road, Ramsgate, and it's expected to launch in March 2023. That's interesting, isn't it? Mm. So Aldi has gone and Home Bargains is coming in.
Yeah, Aldi have opened a supermarket opposite.
Oh, okay. Mm. So the new supermarket will include a chilled and frozen food section. I hope that means they'll just be relaxed. And will create 70 jobs for the area. If I make a quip, the men in this, the gentlemen in this studio, lady listeners, always give each other sort of a sarcastic, nonchalant sort of wry look to each other if I make any comments. But we'll bypass it. I feel I'm outnumbered.
You're feeling susceptible
here.
Yeah,
there's these little sly glances they do if
I say.
No,
Terry just sent me a picture of the
toothpaste.
No. We're way past that. We're way back. And see, she's getting.
I feel they're ganging up on.
Yeah. No, he sent me a picture of the poster that needs to go in your shop window for the Christmas shopping.
If only I had a shop.
Well, that's why I didn't send it to you.
Oh, but I can take it to Whitstable. Was it only Tenterden?
It's Tenterden. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I know. Well, I was asking a few people to come on High Street, people from Whitstable, but of course they're all flat out.
Yeah.
Same as my Scoff Quaff show, my Christmas show, turkey farmers I wanted. They're all flat out.
Yeah.
It comes after Aldi moved.
You need turkey farmers at Easter.
Yeah, I know.
But not Christmas.
Yeah, but then it's not the same. It comes after Aldi moved out of the building, you're quite correct, following 20 years of operating and relocated across the road to a new facility at a former gasworks site. Talking of high streets, I returned to Deal, which is just charming.
Lovely. Yeah.
Charming. And did you see my picture on Twitter, any of you?
Yeah.
I had a little lobstery thing, Lobster Benedict I had on the pier.
Right.
With Darcy Greyhound, and then I walked to the high street, and it's absolutely charming. But when you look from the pier, the houses all along the seafront are absolutely beautiful because they're all individual, they're all Victorian or whatever. Whereas I feel like we in Tankerton are ruining it. We've got a lot of cladding going up
and a lot of modern buildings.
Modern, yeah. And it's just ruined that thing.
Infill.
Yeah, but I do like Deal. Very, very big up to Deal High Street, if you're listening.
It's a bit of an obscure place, though, isn't it? It's not that easy to get to.
It's quite a way.
Yeah.
But then we had a nice walk. We had a nice
And then
lunch.
Your mobile phone don't work because it looks onto the French
yeah.
Vodafone and E2 systems.
Yeah.
Michael Park Surveyors have tweeted, "We would love a Business Bunker shout-out if we may, Paul and Jules." Of course you may. We're always pleased to have get a shout-out. That's Michael Park Surveyors. Everything commercial property based in Rochester, covering the southeast of England. Follow them on their Twitter at MPSL.
And Sarah Marsh Collins said, "I seriously underestimated the temperature drop. Won't be making that mistake again," because I asked her if she had a little vest on or a thermal or something. But you know, standing at a railway station can be chilly, can't it?
Yep. Right. Do you know, it's that time. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom.
2 o'clock.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Terry Thorpe, chair of Tenterden and District Chamber of Commerce, and we'll have some more rambling chat from Jules.
For me?
Yeah.
I might not participate in the second.
Yeah, no, she's getting a white strop on because she thinks Terry and I are talking about her behind her back. We're really not. We're just winding her up.
Little sly glances.
Yeah. Anyway, let's join the Channel Radio newsroom.
Wonder if they'll mention oil.
I beg your pardon?
Oil prices.
Probably not.
No, they probably won't.
Yeah.
Nothing of
Here we go, anyway.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker.